Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
227, time to visit House of 1,000 Beers, now open for lunch and dinner, New Kensington, Warrendale. Come enjoy their amazing selection of pizza, burgers, and barbecue. Promised more fallout from the Penguins playoff disaster, Chris. The Penguin who I think is squarely in the crosshairs of Penguins media and Pittsburgh sports media as the scapegoat for this series, as we've gotten not just knee-jerk reaction, but now these pundits have had some time to sleep on it and come up with the guy they want to blame the series on. I am finding more and more that Malkin is everybody's favorite culprit. He got an F from Yoey in a playoff report card column, scathing review from Cook today in the Post Gazette, saying the Stars are to blame, and it seemed like he had his harshest critique for Malkin's performance in the series. I had Richie Walsh last night on the Showdown telling me that they should trade or try to trade Malkin this offseason.
I mean, tale as old as time here. He played like vomit, but it's in the two-star orbit that they've had going here. It's the Russian guy is always the one screwing up. Now, admittedly, Crosby played better, but not much better. He had two goals. He had what seemed like it was a very important series-turning goal until the Penguins rolled over and showed their bellies like dogs in the end of game three and in game four. I thought Malkin was really bad, but I wouldn't scapegoat him the most.
Really? Who would you do it then? Who would be
Jack Johnson and Mike Sullivan would actually be number one for me. Actually, I hate doing that, though, in a sense, because the players still play the game. But in this particular case, I'm coming around to the idea that he should have started Jari. I think Sean Gentile wrote he should have put Jari in game three once the game had become tied. And I kind of agree with that. I also think, he just steadfastly refused to change his third defense pairing. You put Jack Johnson out there, and Jack Johnson's an abysmal hockey player, but he's only out there because somebody continues to send him over the boards. And I thought the team's entire lack of urgency and lack of fight was really something where they took their cues from a coach that just kept sending the usual rolling lines over the boards.
Yeah, usage, like, too.
What did they think was going to happen? Why on earth was Jack Johnson getting more ice time than John Marino? In what universe does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
No, Malkin wouldn't be. He would probably be in my top five. I thought the guy was their best player all season.
He was.
There's like no real objective way to say otherwise. But he no-showed this series. He was really active in the first game, I thought, taking a ton of shots, especially early. They didn't go in, and it looked like he went into the tank a little.
And
bit.
He is the more I think than Sid. Sid leads by example. I think Malkin leads both with his emotion. He will say things, and he will be more brutally honest of the team, and I think you see it in his play. He is their passion compass.
He's their heart, right. I think. And he is the guy who stands up in the room and says, hey, guys, we played like crap, and then you usually expect that guy to lead by example once he acknowledges that, and Malkin doesn't always do it.
He did that before game four, and he didn't seem like he had the usual zip.
Huge game for me. He didn't say huge game for us. He said huge game for me, which tells me he knows how bad he had been to that point. And then he, like the rest of them, went out like chumps.
Yeah, I thought his intensity level was garbage too. But I don't subscribe right now to the idea that they're done. That now is the best time you know, you start rebuilding yesterday, blow it up, you know, keep Sid as your face of the franchise and everything else is for sale because you've got to start over again. I don't buy that yet. I still believe, even though it is counterintuitive, because mostly it's teams led by players in their mid-20s who win Stanley Cups. But I think sports science is what it is now, and I think comparing what teams did in the 1980s or 90s to what athletes can do today is a futile exercise. I think Sid can play at a top five, top 10 player level for another 5 years. And so from that perspective, I think Malkin is still a worthy lieutenant, and I think that even Letang, to a lesser extent, I am more open to two guys. Murray, everybody is going to, you know, identify him as somebody that they should move and will move. As far as guys who are, in my opinion, also expendable, Letang, you've won a Stanley Cup without him. I know he logs a ton of minutes, but you feel like you've got that guy in waiting in John Marino. He doesn't have a full no movement clause, so it's easier to trade him. I don't think they have to do it, but I am open to it. And Sullivan, who had a great regular season as a coach, I am not sold that he has to be the right guy for them moving forward, Chris, because I've seen the way the Penguins respond to coaching changes before, and it's usually
good. But you brought
good.
It up that he's under contract till 2024, yeah. When we had this yep. back and forth last week as a reason why he would be back. So have you changed your mind paying him to stay away?
No, I think he will be back, and I will give him another chance to go into next year. But my confidence is not brimming in him as the right guy for the job. He made some boneheaded decisions in this series that are going to haunt my opinion of him for some time. It doesn't stain his entire legacy in Pittsburgh. Of course not. But what have you done for me lately? He got out-coached badly in this series. Horribly.
I mean, we know that the history of this team is littered with coaches who took over midstream in otherwise underwhelming seasons and guided a team to a title. Bylsma did it, taking over for Therrien, and obviously Sullivan did it, taking over from Mike Johnston. And the completely inarguable truth of the Penguins, really from Lemieux onward, when it became an offensive star-dominated franchise, is that coaches have had a shelf life here. And maybe it usually comes from the team tuning guys out. But in Sullivan's case, like, I don't think it was that in this series. I really think it was the same sort of sin or personality flaw that befalls Letang, who is one of his best and you know, most gifted players. This insane stubbornness. Like, I could imagine Sullivan, if somebody said to him in a private moment, hey, Mike, like, what, or, you know, if somebody had said to him after the series, why Jack Johnson so much, why this, why that, and really pressed him. I could imagine Sullivan in that Boston accent saying, what do you want me to do, be a perfect coach? You know, not make any mistake? Like, something like that, and just do the Letang spiel over again. But it's, you know what was really troubling about him? I think everyone that wrote about this series essentially echoed this. He seemed like a guy completely out of answers, right? Like, almost resigned to what had happened to them in some ways. I don't want my coach, especially a guy who's as accomplished as Sullivan is, who probably could have been in the Jack Adams, final three this year. Should have been, you could argue. I don't want him to be a guy who looks like he's out of answers all of a sudden. Well, I hate the narrative that because this COVID thing stopped hockey for almost 5 months, that like you can just toss this series out as being a complete fluke. No, you had a way better team top to bottom. Get them ready.
Yeah, I agree with that last point. I do think. I am not calling it their worst playoff loss in team history, in part because there was a 5 month layoff, and I want to see what else happens here. If this is a completely upside down postseason, and you know Boston now goes down and gets beaten like a drum, I'm going to have a hard time viewing it like the conventional traditional playoff series that we've grown accustomed to. I think Sullivan got in this kind of trap, Chris. He won this year. They were at their best when stars were down and they played more of a conservative style and they tried to win low-scoring games. And I think he hearkened back to that too much by rolling four lines and believing in his depth and giving bottom six and bottom pairing more minutes and believing that it was going to be the whole entire team unit that was going to lead them to victories like it did when they were at their best when Sid was down. And I also think he had to... just based on how they played, I think he had to have the Islander series still on the back of his mind. That when I turned it up and I let these guys loose and we played more of a talent-laden, let's get up and down style, we got our doors beaten by them.
But see, that's a flawed analysis of the situation, in my estimation. That Islanders team last year was a year too early or whatever, and obviously they got run out of the playoffs, you know, sweep the next round themselves. But that team had, it was a playoff caliber team, right? Like they objectively made the postseason as one of the top eight teams in the East, so that makes it different. Montreal was terrible compared to that. And they were a team whose entire MO was wait for more talented teams to make a mistake and try to counter off of that. What was Montreal's MO this year? Get your ass kicked every game?
They had 17.
You could go out there.
Wins.
It drove me nuts. And I called them, I thought it was the height of cowardice, and I'll stick by it. I thought it was a cowardly way to go out. The Penguins did not go out on their shield. I would have much rather seen game four play out thusly. They come out trying to run and gun and lose 6-4. But they go out the way that they, you know, trying to lean on their one overt advantage, and that's offensive firepower. And they didn't. Nope. They said, we're going to try to wait here around and linger and see if the 24th best team in hockey, who doesn't deserve to be here in the first place, makes a mistake. What a pathetic chump's way to go.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.